Okay, as you looked at the scripture reading this morning, you're going to notice, if you've even looked ahead or even if you looked at the blast that came out this week by way of your email, that it looks like we're going to talk about slaves and slavery. And in doing some background work, you might want to make note of this. Believe it or not, in the Roman Empire, there were estimated to be upwards of 60 million slaves at any time. And when the message of the gospel went out, it went out to churches, and the churches were filled with slaves. Now listen, right off the bat, you've got in your mind right now that I know what a slave is. I've seen all those movies about American slaves in the South here, and I know exactly what it was like. And I think you need to re-register that thinking a little bit. Let me help you with this. Some of your versions will say this, bond slave. And you'll notice in the scripture reading this morning, when I get back to it, that it says here in verse 18, servants. And Paul likes to use the word bond slave. Other translations you may have just say slave. But you need to understand this, that typically somebody who was a slave at this time sold themselves into slavery by choice. You might feel like that under your boss, by the way, but that's not the way this is, okay? And only a small percentage were spoils of war. But generally, it's noted by historians that they were treated with respect and they were treated with dignity. They were allowed to marry. They were allowed to have a family. They were allowed to accumulate wealth. Some of them getting more wealthy than the actual slave owner. They were allowed to run businesses. And Roman law states that normally by age 30, they were to be set free. So when the message of the gospel is going out, it's going out to this group of people. And at one time, one of the historians says that two-thirds of the empire was involved in being a slave to one degree or another. So don't think of the American slavery event over here of years ago, but think of a whole different way as to you're indebted to somebody. You gave yourself over to them in slavery. There were doctors who were slaves. There were dentists who were slaves. Are you getting the idea? It was just an indentured servitude and a whole different level than what most of us are thinking. So the churches are filled with these kind of people. So when Peter talks about being servants or slaves, they understand it. When Paul talks about being a bondservant, they get it. In fact, most of the people who are listening to this are like, I know, I've been that my whole life. But I did want to take a little note off to the side here, because the scripture does not prevent slavery. It was never written to prevent slavery. And the slavery that took place in our past, in our country, actually the scripture provides a basis for taking it down. Listen carefully, okay? There are principles from the scripture that teach us exactly how they would take down slavery. Listen to this if you're taking some notes. The scripture teaches equality of all people before God. That helps take slavery down. Scripture teaches that there is a true and genuine brotherhood in Jesus Christ. Man and woman, free and slave. We are all equal that way, true and genuine brotherhood. The scripture teaches that bondage is really not bondage under people, it's bondage to sin. But that freedom is had in Christ. Whether you're a slave or not, you can only be free if you're in Christ. Meaning that everything and everyone, including slave owners, fall under the lordship of Christ, meaning His rules for how to do life. So what value is it for me, do the logical, what value is it for me to even look at a passage like this? I know we're going verse by verse through Peter, but literally, come on, Mike. This has nothing to do with me. I'm not a slave. I feel that way at my place of work. You might feel that way too. But I'm not really a slave and haven't given myself over to be a bond servant. Well, the reality is, in studying this scripture, it gives us for the next 15, 20 minutes some great insight as to how I react and respond to the authority over me at work. That's where you can learn some real nuggets. Remember, God's Word, God's heart, God's teaching on something, and God doesn't change His mind. So His attitude about those in authority over me has not changed. Let me read the scripture for you. You can look at it on the screen. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Let me read that for us. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father, we've asked before that you would teach us, and now we ask you once again, invite you and ask you to challenge us and to teach us in regards to our attitude, in regards to our attitude to our boss and the authorities over us. Father, we talked about government the other week. Today we talk about the interpersonal relationship of a boss and the worker, of which each of us are in here to one degree or another. So, Father, use this time for your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got your note sheet out. First point I want you to see comes from verse 18. And it says this, that I need to submit with respect. Everybody I know struggles with the word submit. Husbands, submit to your wives. Nobody said amen then. Oh, let me do it again slower. Husbands, submit to your wives. Okay. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's the way it is. No way, right? It's usually what we do. When somebody says, I need to submit to something, or they put a law over me, a rule over me, the first thing I start thinking, and this is genuinely me, is, you say that, but I'm not doing that. It doesn't come out my mouth anymore because I've matured up. But inside, the heart's still the same way. I'm not doing that. Just because you said that, I'm not doing that. And it seems to be that that's innate to each of us. And this first point here, I need to submit with respect. Submit. Taking notes, write this down. It means to obey. It means to follow instructions. It means to do what you're told to do. It means that I put my energy and my efforts to do my job, and it takes away all chance of me mailing it in because I am submitted. In regards to last week, we talked about submitting to the governing authorities because God gave them the authority. Now we get the same picture here with our bosses, that God has given those authorities authority over me, and I am to submit to them. And practically on your notes, there's two sides to this. One side's very easy, and the other side really stinks. Here are the two sides. I wrote them down really funny here, but here they are. Outside is one, and inside is the other. You're like, oh, genius, Mike. No. On the outside, it means this, that I do my job as directed by my boss. I do it willingly, I do it with effort, and I do it their way. No problem there. Here's the rub. Inside, I do it with respect. Ha! Respect. Respect means how I talk and how I viscerally respond to my boss. That's the hard part, the inside, how I talk about and regard those in our authority. So easy. Everywhere I've been, and I've been in the secular field working a job with idiots as bosses. Can I say that? Am I getting in trouble? Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? Idiots as bosses. And I've been on the church side with idiots as bosses. It didn't seem to make much of a difference. But everybody kept their mouths shut in front of the boss. Yes, yes, whatever, whatever. And then when we'd get together away from our supervisors or our bosses, we would do what? Get it? And the talking and the jibber-jabber would go on because we gossiped about those people. We talked about their lack of brains. We talked about their lack of DNA. We talked about their lack of heritage. You've never done any of this? Are you people all wonderful? Did you stop those conversations? I let it fly. And I like to use humor to express truth. And I would use humor and get everybody laughing about an aspect of a boss as I parroted and acted like that boss as you pick up a mannerism. You ever done that? I've done that. That's not submitting with respect. In fact, it's the greatest disrespect that takes place is away from the boss's ears. I need to submit with respect to the authorities, and let the Lord teach me in this area. Second point comes from this same verse. I need to submit to both the fair and the unfair employer. Have you ever had a great boss? Honestly, look at me. Have you ever had a great boss? Anywhere in your life, you had a great boss? Oh, I can remember people like that. Man, woman, it didn't make a difference. You just liked to be around them. You liked to work for them. You liked to listen to them. You admired them. You talked positive about them to their face. Hey, thanks a lot. You're just the best. And behind their back, you got around the water cooler and you said, you know, that guy, that gal, she's just the best. They are fantastic. You wouldn't believe how they talk to me. They're so nice to me. You've had bosses like that, haven't you? Sure you have. Isn't that fun? In fact, you talk to the staff here at church. They will tell you a lot of the same stuff. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, but you're not one of the workers. Let's try again. That's right. I order them to. I order one staff member right now to say amen to that. Thank you. Okay, good. Let's move on. We're just having fun, all right? Right? Okay, just checking. Okay, good. But listen, in this situation, like any situation you had, there were both good and there were bad owners of slaves. There were ones that treated the slaves just like family and actually invested in their lives, and then there were other ones that were bad. And here we go. No matter who the Christian slaved for, no matter who the Christian worker worked for, they were doing it wholeheartedly. Do it diligently. Do it with a great attitude. You know why? Because you, while you may have the biggest jerk of a... Sorry, man, I'm glad you sat here. It just fits in perfectly right now, okay? While you might have the biggest jerk for a boss, the truth of the matter is, you know you don't work for him, you know you don't work for her, but you actually work for the Lord. The whole time, you're actually at work for the Lord. It doesn't matter what that boss is like. The truth of the matter is your higher calling is to work for the Lord. And when it's all over, it isn't the boss that's going to evaluate you. It's the Lord who's going to evaluate you. And that should make you think two or three extra times about, oh my goodness, that boss. No, the Lord will evaluate me. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Paul comes in instructing this younger pastor, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants, there's the word, regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Doesn't matter what they're like, they're worthy of honor. So that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Everybody look up here. I want you to get one point this morning. I want you to get one point this morning, all right? I want you to feel this with me. Can you do something with me? Look at me. The truth of the matter, if you haven't figured it out yet, your life in Jesus Christ, like Paul said, is a life that's being poured out and spent for Him. In the process, you may have to sweat a little bit. No, big deal. In the process, you may have to be uncomfortable a little bit and get tired because of your work for the Lord and working correctly. Big deal. You may, in the process of serving Him, actually get sick, actually be lonely, and actually cause you to lose your physical life. God's perspective, He'd be like, oh, big deal, come on home. My perspective, that's a big deal. Are you serious? Is it on that level? Yes, because I need to understand one great fact from the Scripture in this. It's this, that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is always bigger than me. And I may need to be spent out completely physically so that that message might go forward. I may have to be uncomfortable. I may have to be sick. I may have to go without my needs met. I may have to, and all bad stuff. All that the gospel might be preached more effectively, and that's all that matters. When Paul came to Jesus Christ when he was still Saul, God basically revealed this truth to one of the people who's helping rescue him out of that event after getting knocked off the horse. And God says, Jesus says this, He is my chosen instrument, and He is going to suffer a lot for me. Well, let me just claim that Bible promise, okay, right off the bat. I'd like a double piece of that if I could. Right off the bat, before Paul did a thing, Jesus was saying, you're my chosen instrument, you're going to have to suffer like you won't believe. And you read through his life, and there was a ton of suffering. And I learned this morning from watching TV, one of my favorite pastors on TV. No, listen, don't laugh. This is truth. I learned that when you have a relationship with God, because you won't mention Christ for some reason, when you have a relationship with God, that's when your life smooths out and everything gets good on the glassy sea. And you can go to the cruise buffet whenever you want, and there's entertainment. And when you get home from that cruise, you find out there's more money in your bank account. And it mysteriously got there because God put it there. You know why? Because you're one of His children, and He's just waiting to bless you more than you can ever imagine. Do I hear amen? And those idiots all say yes. I'm like, read the Scripture. The Scripture says you may have to struggle, you may have to suffer, you may have to die because the gospel is bigger than you. And because God is bigger than you, and if He's called you to His purposes, guess what? It may be the tougher road to go. And that's what you signed up for. Nobody's preaching that message because it doesn't fill churches. It doesn't give you a warm feeling. But that's what the Scripture teaches. And when you gave your life to Christ, you gave it away to Him to spend as He sees fit. Got it? God has called us in work not to be lazy, have a bad attitude, be disrespectful, bitter, gossip, and not blaspheme His name by anything that we do or tarnish the message. We're always proclaiming the work of Jesus Christ. Third point this morning. Interesting phrase here. I need to submit, in verse 19, I need to submit with mindfulness of Christ. Mindfulness of Christ. What in the world is that, Matt?
Well, first let me say that as Pastor Mike was talking about how some people criticize their bosses behind their back, let me say I would only ever criticize mine to his face. And that is the right thing to do. That's my wife. It'd be wrong to do it behind that person's back. But before we get into this, I want to explore that word we saw earlier in the 1 Timothy passage, bondservant, a little bit more. And there's been much hay in the evangelical world lately about how to translate this word, because it's been historically translated as slave, and you'll see some translations, and they've gone into long explanations why we don't do that anymore, because people associate it with this kind of American slavery, and that's not necessarily what it means, and so we're trying to dance around just the flat-out, yes, that's how it should be translated, and we try to come up with a new way to translate it, so sometimes we say servant, bond servant. The meaning, bond servant is pretty close. The idea, doulos is the Greek word. It basically means to tie one thing to another. That's the etymology of it. That's where the word comes from. So just think of it as one person is tied to another person. So the one that was in submission to the other one, it's like he's tied to him and forced to follow him, or maybe not forced, but nevertheless connected to him. And I think that's helpful when we understand the mindfulness of Christ in this way. So if you're in a difficult situation and you're just sick of whoever has authority over you and you just had enough, well, the idea is this, that your ultimate objective as a Christian is to share the gospel, spread the gospel, and make Jesus known by living like Him to the best you can and doing His will. That's your ultimate objective. And sometimes you might feel that tension, your sinful nature, where you want to lash out or cause problems to this person over authority over you. And maybe justly, by the way. Maybe justly. But these two things can contend with one another. Because if you were to lash out at this person or militate against this person, that may undermine your overall witness for Jesus, which is your ultimate goal. So, you know, sometimes when people have authority over you and are really annoying you and you don't lash out, you can actually gain strength by going, you know, ultimately, none of that matters. None of this will matter in a few years, 100 years at the most. None of that's going to matter. All that's going to matter in eternity is, to what degree did I serve the Lord? And so since that's your goal, that should be your focus. And that can help you endure a great deal of criticism and unfair situations. As I speak, I'm not saying where you're just lashing out unjustly. No, it might be justly. And thankfully, at least we live in a society where you have other options, unlike a lot of these people here, where they legitimately, it was part of the economy, to be you're pretty much a landowner, wife of a landowner, or a slave. I mean, more or less. That's just how the economy worked. So, in that sense, let's say we're tied to Jesus. That's who I'm tied to. So He should be leading me. And one final point, by the way, if I'm a servant, a slave of Jesus, I'm a bond servant, I'm tied to Him, that's very good. Because I'm not eternal my nature is not to be eternal. I would pass away because I have a sinful nature. But Jesus doesn't pass away. He is eternal. He's the eternal God. So I'm happy to be tied to him. He can't get rid of me. You know, I've got to obey him, but he can't get rid of me either because he's tied me to him. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you doing these little commentaries, but they're just wisdom points, and that's why they're so good. Fourth point this morning from verse 20, and it's this: I need to submit properly. That means I submit in a godly way at work. Whoa! No matter what might be going on. Now I got to stop right there and say this. Just a special note, write it on your notes if you need to. This is in regards to your work being done legally, ethically, morally, biblically. Any job that demands you violate your conscience or the scriptures is not what we're talking about here. If you're asked to take part in illegal activity, that's not what we're talking about here. If you're in that kind of a situation, you have to make some tough decisions. Come back to your church, talk to respected people as to whether you need to leave that place or even call the authorities. I'm serious about that. So, things of abuse that are going on in workplaces now need to be stopped, and God might need you to be there to stop them. We're not talking about that. I want you to think of it this way. The sovereign God of the universe that's more concerned about his glory in the message than your very life, believe it or not, but is going to use your life. The God of the universe has strategically placed you. Listen to me. We talk about it in your community, in that place out there that you live. He's put you there to pastor that neighborhood, to represent Christ in that neighborhood. You're the lighthouse and the outpost in that neighborhood. And then that translates over to your job. God has strategically placed you within your work situation with all those people around you. Some of the ones that work hard and some of those just mailing it in. He has placed you in that situation again as that lighthouse to share the word of Jesus Christ by action and then also by words when appropriate. You're to work honorably for the boss like that to show Jesus Christ because you work for the Lord yourself. And what about this? Suppose I've retired. I would ask you this. Have you bought the American myth that you worked for your X amount of years out there to get your X amount of pension and the money that you've saved so that you can now sleep in all morning, get up, turn on the TV and watch movies, go out to eat every night whenever you want, play around whenever you want? Is that your idea of retirement? Boy, I hope not. I hope, like a guy I knew a few years ago, he told me this. I retired to work. He said, I've got some free time and some more free time, but God has given me more to do now than that I'm retired. You just have to listen for what God wants you involved with, the people that he wants you involved with, and the situations he wants you to stick your body, your nose, and your mind in. And what's the work that he's got for you right now? You will be surprised if you start to inquire of the Lord, how much more he's got for you than maybe he did before. These can be some of the most fantastic years in your life as far as full out serving as you listen. Work for the Lord. Colossians 3:23 on your notes tells us to work heartily as to the Lord. Heartily means this, out of your soul, out of your inner being. This means working for the Lord from the deepest part of your being because your work matters to God. God knows how you work, he knows your work habits, and he knows that as you're working, he has called you to represent Christ by what you do, especially at work, retired or not. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, and I want to ask you a tough question. And that's this. When you think about your work life, retired, not retired, working right now or out of work right now, when you think about your work life, what do you think needs to be adjusted before God's Holy Spirit this morning? What needs to be adjusted, changed, stopped, or added in order for you to do your work in a way that honors the Lord? What needs to be different? Can you think that way right now? As the Holy Spirit is illuminating some things for you and I right now, would you have the courage to take an action point on that and say, starting right now, that stops? Or starting right now, I'm adding that. Starting right now, I'm going to be that way. I'm going to be this way. Because I realize anew that my work matters to God. I realize anew that my work actually is a reflection of the gospel message of Jesus Christ Himself. Do you have the courage right now to make those kind of changes? And with that said, and with our heads bowed, I'm going to ask you to pray one more time with me. Would you right now thank God for the work situation that you're in? Would you do that right now? And then would you also ask God to use you more than you ever imagined in your work situation, that you might truly reflect the life of Jesus Christ to those around you? Would you pray that way as well? Father, we, your body of believers here at Candlewood, leave here today to go back to our neighborhoods and our families. Father, use us there. But Father, now we have this dimension of our work, retired or not, what you've called us to do for you, where you've called us to be for you. Father, we pray that you would use us there in a fantastic way. Multiply our efforts by your Holy Spirit and cause us, Father, to have an impact for your Son, Jesus Christ, as we do all this to seek to bring you glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.